What is happening, everybody? Welcome to Season 3, Episode 42 of Sports Bar Talk. We got a lot to get into, so let's get into it. This is Sports Bar Talk, where we got the best seat in the house. And let's dig right in. Let's start with a little golf. The British Open is going on. It has started at Royal Portrush, an historic course in Northern Ireland. So this is really a major home game for our defending Masters champion, Rory McIlroy. The first round has already gotten underway. In fact, the second wave of golfers, they're about midway through their first round. Let's look at the leaderboard. We have a lot of players tied for the lead. In fact, it's only 5 players tied for the lead at 4 under par. Jacob Olsen, Hao Tong Lee, Christian Bezuidenhout, Lucas Glover, and Englishman Matt Fitzpatrick. Then you have a bunch of guys, 5 guys at 3 under par, including Scottie Scheffler. So Scottie's in a great place right now if he wants to win this tournament, shooting a 68. Some other guys there in the mix at 3 under par, Matt Jordan, Saddam Kewakajana, sorry if I got that name wrong, Harris English, and then from the LIV Tour, Tyrrell Hatton. Rory McIlroy's 2 under par, Phil Mickelson's 1 under par. It's going to be Lynx golf, open-style golf. We saw it best at the U.S. Open, British Opens. They want these golfers to cry, and not cry like break down. They want these golfers to struggle. It's really a survival of the fittest. Golf how it's meant to be. No 20 under par as the winning score. No 30 under par as the winning score. Because we see that week in and week out. We love challenges. As a world, we love a good challenge. So that's what this type of golf provides. And it's really good, you know. I would have said pre-tournament going into this tournament, Xander Schauffele would have been my guy. And I don't think he's doing too well right now. In fact, let's see where he is on the leaderboard. Well, he's even par, so he's 4 back. Still a lot of golf to be played. He was part of that morning wave group of golfers today. So he's got a lot to do. Looks pretty good. I think he'll do well. If he can string some birdies or something, that'll be fine. Adam Scott's another guy I'd like to see do well. 1 over par. We were all rooting for him there at the U.S. Open. So we'll see what happens there. Cantlay's 2 over par. Your U.S. Open champion, J.J. Spaun, is also 2 over par. I think it'll be a good tournament. So today's coverage going on right now, you can watch on the USA Network. And then tomorrow for round 2 at 1:30 in the morning, Peacock has exclusive coverage until 4 a.m. when the coverage switches to USA. And then the weekend coverage is on your local NBC station. There might be a Peacock exclusive window before that or some USA Network coverage. But the main, like, when everyone's up, it'll probably be on your local NBC station. So that's good, too. And you can also stream all the action on Peacock. You can watch the British broadcast with our friends over at Sky Sports. Now, that's not the only PGA Tour tournament going on this week. For the rest of the guys who didn't make it to the British Open, like Max Homa, who would probably be the biggest name in this tournament, they're playing in the Barracuda Championship, and you can only watch that on Golf Channel. Now, this is at the Tahoe Mountain Golf Club in Truckee, I believe in California or Nevada, and this is the rest of the guys. Now, they're doing, when you see these scores, and you see that the leaders are 10 over par, that is not the case. They're playing Stableford scoring. Not quite sure how the scoring works, but in Stableford scoring, you want to get the high score. So, eagles are worth like 5 points, I think. Birdies free, pars 2, bogeys are none. You lose points when you double bogey. So you really want to try and get points in this, not lose strokes. And I'm sure if you watch the coverage, it'll be great. Listen, I think Homa's had a rough go the last year or two. I'm sure he wishes he was at Royal Portrush right now. So we'll see what he can do. I know he was in contention. He almost made it to the British Open. That would be my pick. I don't really watch the Barracuda Championship as much. Everyone's eyes in the golf world are in the UK. So we'll see. Could be a good tournament, though. I would highly recommend if you want to tune in. You definitely could. But, yeah, that's the golf. Let's recap the All-Star game. And we'll start with the Home Run Derby. The big dumper, Cal Raleigh, wins the Home Run Derby. Not much of a surprise there. I will say this. I love Pat McAfee. I love what he does. His daily show is fantastic. I love what he does on WWE week in and week out. I know he's stepping away from WWE for a bit to focus on family because we know we have football season coming up and he's going to be full throttle on that. I love him on College Game Day. He's going to be this upcoming generation's Lee Corso, with Lee Corso doing his final show at the end of the month. By the way, beautiful tribute to Lee on the ESPYs last night. But, come on, who at MLB signed off on having Pat McAfee do the intros for the All-Star game? Now, I'll say, it was electric. It was great seeing Ty Schmidt up there, his producer. But did we really need that? Did we really need McAfee and Ty Schmidt? It was great. But I guarantee you, a baseball purist doesn't want to see a former punter who knows nothing about baseball. He probably didn't know who Jazz Chisholm was before this. Now, maybe Ty Schmidt's a Yankees fan. Maybe he knew a little bit. But do you really think he knew about... Do you think he knows how to calculate OPS? Do you think so? I really don't. He did the press conference, too, by the way, with the starting lineup reveal with the managers and stuff. Do you think he really knows who, Pat McAfee knows who Gunnar Henderson is on the Baltimore Orioles? Adley Rutschman? Do you think he knows who Gleyber Torres is? I don't think he really would. Probably wouldn't know if he fell on him, but... The press con, I mean, whoever at MLB signed off on having Pat McAfee do the intros at the Home Run Derby should resign and never work in sports ever again. Plain and simple. This could be ESPN's last Home Run Derby. And fans were saying, let Chris Berman come back and do it one more time. Let him do the derby one more time. Well, we wanted Chris Berman, and instead we got Pat McAfee, who did a great job. Who did a great job. But no wonder the MLB wants to cut the ties with ESPN on their MLB relationship. You're sending out a guy to do the intros who doesn't know anything about baseball. Probably never swung a bat before until he got to the All-Star game on Sunday. That wasn't the most egregious thing of All-Star Week, though. The game itself was good. Was great, actually. A great tribute to Hank Aaron. After the sixth inning. You had... The pregame festivities are amazing. The player introductions and everything. Freddie Freeman getting an ice ovation in his return to Atlanta. Clayton Kershaw. Probably should have gotten more of an ovation in his potential last All-Star game as a captain's, not a captain's pick, a commissioner's pick. But we ended the game. So the game ends 6-6 in the ninth inning. And you know, I forgot they made this rule change last year. I thought we were just going to extra innings. No. We're going to do a Home Run Derby swing off. Okay. I'm interested. I even tweeted, they should let the pitchers hit, except for Ohtani. So, to my surprise, they bring the managers out. It's a whole spectacle. Kevin Burkhardt's mic is to the whole crowd. They announce, the managers announce who they're throwing out there for this swing-off. And, so the NL goes first with their or Dave Roberts. They, I gotta find who this lineup. It was, for the NL, it was Kyle Stowers, Kyle Schwarber, and Pete Alonso. Kyle Stowers, of course, of the Miami Marlins. Schwarber of the Phillies, Alonso of the Mets. The AL and Aaron Boone sent out this lineup. Brett Rooker, Randy Arozarena, Jonathan Aranda. Do you notice a couple names who are not on that list? Aaron Judge, obviously. Shohei. Where were they? Oh, guess what? They left the building! My first thought was when Aaron Boone announced this lineup, oh my goodness, Aaron Boone really might be a horrible manager. How do you leave Judge off the list? Turns out, Aaron Judge left. Ohtani left. I get it if... I mean, what message does this send to our children? Oh, when you get benched, it's okay to leave. What's team sports all about? Supporting your team. So you stay on the bench. If I was Rob Manfred, I'd be furious. I would fine them. But even that probably wouldn't make a big statement. So you know what I would do? I would have given them 20-game suspensions each. But he can't, because if he suspends his best players, it's going to be a worse look on the league and ratings drop. And money talks in professional sports instead of integrity. Also, I hated the format. It was fun to watch, but this is like saying we're going to end in the Super Bowl with 33-yard extra points by the kickers. First to miss loses the Super Bowl. Give me a break. Do your normal extra inning rule. The game's normally over by the 10th inning anyways. It might have taken just as long to finish the game in regular extra innings than it did to do this home run derby swing off. If I wanted to watch the home run derby, I could have tuned in the night before. Which I did, by the way. Unbelievable. Now, maybe you could do regular extra innings for the 10th and 11th innings and then do a one gut batter swing off. It's just unbelievable. But my biggest problem was you let, especially the hitters, Judge and Ohtani, and a lot of other players too, flat out left after they got pulled from the game. Great teammate, Yar. Boy. If that was a college All-Star game or a college baseball game, and I pulled my first baseman, and he said, I'm out, he'd be cut from the team. And if I was a major league manager and I found out my guy left after getting benched or pulled from the game at this point, I'd sit him for the next game. I don't think... Aaron Judge is a captain. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Dave Roberts said in his press conference, Ohtani was long gone. What, to get a jump start on a 24-hour vacation? To somewhere? Like a nice beach or something? You're not going to experience much of that beach at night. This article I'm reading says it makes sense that some players weren't planning on sticking around. At least stay and support your team. Could you imagine if Ohtani hit a home run and even pitched in this for free strikeouts in the NL1 in regulation? Game's over. Let's announce the MVP. It's Shohei Ohtani. Where's Shohei? He's not here. That would be a bad look for the game. In fact, it already is a bad look for the game. On a game we're trying to grow, and Manfred's done some good things with the rule changes. He abolished the 7-inning doubleheaders after COVID. I thought they were going to stick with that. The pitch clock has been amazing. Now, you want to talk about one nice thing about the All-Star game? The balls and strikes challenge system is phenomenal. I think they should just do it, make it permanently, start with Friday's games. But just allowing players to leave the game early, to leave, to catch their flight. I can tell you right now, if Bill Belichick was managing one of these All-Star teams, no one would have left the game early. Nick Saban wouldn't have let that happen. Joe Torre was an honorary manager for the honorary coach for the AL. If he was managing that game, do you think he would have let Aaron Judge leave the game early? Support your team. I don't even care if you wanted Judge or Ohtani to hit in the swing-off. They have to stick around. Just unbelievable. And as I was ranting about, we're trying to grow the game. But when you have players leaving your All-Star game early, which is probably your biggest night to market and showcase your players, and they leave early, it's horrible. On top of that, you need like 20,000 streaming services to watch an MLB game because each night you don't know what the Yankees are going to be on. One night they could be on YES, the next night ESPN, the next night they're on Apple TV. Oh, they're on Peacock for game one of a doubleheader, but for game two, they're going to be on Amazon. The state of baseball is hard right now. And if hockey can keep up what they're doing with the four nations and just trying to get people to watch the sport, it felt like more people were into hockey this year in the NBA. MLB could be the fourth most popular sport in America in the next 5 years. MLB needs a wake-up call. MLB and the NBA need wake-up calls. Big time. And I know Rob Manfred's done more harm than good. He's done some good stuff, though. And I know he's planning to leave the commissioner's post in like 2028 or 2029. That can't come soon enough. Especially if you allow All-Stars, your faces of the game. Now, we might not have cared much if I don't know, Ronald Acuna left, although he's a star pretty much. So we might not have cared as much if, like, Gunnar Henderson left. He was at the bottom of the lineup. But your two faces, Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, leaving the game early, that just bothers me. Bothers me. When I found that out, I couldn't wait to do this podcast, by the way. I couldn't wait. Couldn't wait. Now, in terms of the baseball, second half of the season gets going tomorrow. The Mets and Yankees need help. They need bullpen. We got the deadline coming up. Dodgers still look like the best team in baseball. Red Sox are surprising a lot of people. The Cubs are surprising a lot of people. You got the Tigers with the best record in the league. So the storylines are there. Just we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hopefully the team whose players actually stick around for the game actually win the World Series. All right. That's baseball. Sorry for the rant, but it had to be said about what message does it send the kids? I've talked about a life lesson component for little kids who listen to this podcast before. The James Harden thing. Oh, you throw a temper tantrum, you get your way. You know, when I grew up, if you threw a temper tantrum, it meant timeout. You didn't get your way. But here, you saw guys just basically leave and not support their team. My golf coach wouldn't have allowed that, for the record. All right, enough of that. Let's get to restaurant of the week. And this past Sunday, we got takeout from a pizza place. Now, I've mentioned before, I like Detroit style. It's not my favorite. If we're getting pizza, I'd prefer Greek or New York style. We reviewed Alibi a couple months ago. That's my Greek style place here. And we've reviewed New York Pizza Pie. That's my New York style place. I think we've reviewed Alibi, by the way. I'll have to go back in the records. If not, we'll review it at some point. But, this place, if we're getting Detroit style, we're getting it here. Guido's Premium Pizza, the savory sauce boss. Alright, so they have 12 locations, they're all in Michigan. 11 of them are in like the Metro Detroit area. The one closest to me is on Opdyke Road there in Pontiac. And they also have one in Sault Ste. Marie. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. Maybe wrong. I haven't been that far north yet. But they have, if you're getting Detroit style, you're getting it from Guido's, in my opinion. Nothing against Buddy's, but I believe Buddy's is the place you take tourists. Almost like Pat's and Gino's steaks in Philly. That's where you take the tourists to get the Philly cheesesteak. But you go to maybe like a Tony Luke's or a Max's cheesesteaks or something. Now, they have regular hand-tossed pizza, deep dish, Detroit style, and of course Chicago deep dish style. So it's also the place to get Chicago deep dish in Detroit, being we're only like 4.5 hours from Chicago. They have a barbecue chicken pizza. Now, we got their traditional regular sauce pizza with minced garlic crust and ham. Really good. Their sauce is really, really good. My father, we were going to get the barbecue chicken, but they only had it in one size extra large, and it was $40. That's a lot for a pizza. It better be the biggest pizza ever. So instead, we did the build-your-own with the onions, the barbecue sauce, and he got sesame crust on it because instead of chicken, we did ground beef. So we did like a barbecue bacon pizza, because we also got bacon on this too, because it had bacon on the barbecue chicken. Now, their breadsticks are called Guido bread. They have it as regular breadsticks. They've got mozzarella sticks, well, bread, and then Big Mott's bread, and then cinnamon sticks. Their Guido bread, phenomenal. They've got garlic on it, parmesan. Here's a tip. When you get the Guido bread, get a side of their garlic cheese dip. It is a dollar upcharge, but it's worth it. It's got like cream cheese and garlic in it. It is amazing. Just a yummy, yummy dip. It's also good to dip pizza in, by the way. Now, in terms of sides, they have a stromboli. They have wings. I don't think we've ever gotten their wings yet, but they also have chocolate chip cookies. They're really good. Now, in the fall, in addition to their 2-liter sodas, you can get a 2-liter bottle of apple cider. And that's really good, too. We've gotten that before. You get, like, they had a deal where it was, like, for $30, two large pizzas and an apple cider. That was really good. So, if you're in Detroit and you're getting Detroit-style pizza, don't go to Jets. Don't go to Buddy's. Go to Guido's Premium Pizza. They have them all over Metro Detroit, mainly in like the northern part of the Detroit area. The one closest to me is actually not on Opdyke Road. It's 3999 Centerpoint Parkway, Pontiac, Michigan. That is Guido's Premium Pizza. Alright! Sorry about that rant about baseball again. Had to be done, though. Someone had to say something. We'll be back next week for another episode of Sports Bar Talk. And this is Sports Bar Talk, where we got the best seat in the house!